Bailout Chapter 3.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The U.S. Treasury Department is about to let a third industry in on the troubled asset relief program. The Wall Street Journal says life insurance companies could be seeing bailout help within the next several days. Companies applying for money include Prudential, Lincoln National, and Hartford. Marketplace's Steve Henn is following this story for us from Washington. Steve, why insurers and why now?
Life insurers have been begging for help since at least November. Some of the biggest life insurers actually went out of their way to buy small troubled savings and loans so they'd qualify for the bank bailout. And they've just been left hanging. Life insurance lobbyists have been saying that the industry is the largest purchaser of corporate debt. And as long as they're under stress, they're not buying bonds. And that puts a big drag on the entire economy.
The biggest recipient of government money so far is that giant of an insurance company, American International Group. How is this different than the AIG bailout?
Well, as pretty much everyone knows now, AIG got in trouble with credit default swaps. It was insuring other people's bad investments, and it didn't do a particularly good job at that. Other insurers and the big life insurers got in trouble in a totally different way. You know, like banks almost, life insurers have a bunch of assets. You know, they invest in stock, these corporate bonds, and they rely on those assets and the income they earn from them to pay off life insurance policies when people pass away, and also to pay for things like retirement annuities. When the value of those assets declines, that can put them in sort of a bit of a pickle. They might not have enough money to meet all their obligations. Most insurers say they're not there yet, but they're uncomfortably close. So that's why they're asking for money.
And how much money will be going to this new round of companies?
We really don't know yet. The Treasury Department says it has about $130 billion in assets left in the Troubled Asset Relief Program. And some big insurers like the Hartford have estimated that they expect to get between $1 and $3 billion if Treasury approves their application. So at least half a dozen insurers seem poised to get aid. So we'll have to wait and see.
All right. Marketplace's Steve Henn in Washington. Thanks so much.
Sure thing.
Markets in Asia saw losses today. Right now in Europe, shares are down across the board. Yesterday, the Dow fell 186 points or 2.3% to close at 7790. Despite this kind of activity, a study out today by Discover Financial Services shows more people believe the economy's on the rebound. Still, a lot of people are saving every penny. Here's Caitlin Carroll.
Regina Whitehouse used to shop for clothes and go out to the movies with friends. Now the recently fired, turned retired, furniture saleswoman asks herself this question every time she opens her wallet.
Do I want this or do I need this?
More often, the answer is no. Whitehouse is cutting back on fun items so she can put more cash into savings and shrink her credit card debt.
I have found out the things that I think that in the past I thought I needed, I can get along very well without.
Like Whitehouse, about one-third of those in the Discover survey plan to reduce their debt. Another third say they already have. Carrie Leahy is a senior economist with Decision Economics. He says we're entering a decade where people will crave security, and that will change which industries thrive.
We, you know, have too many malls, we have too many stores, and we have too many resources allocated to retail.
He says the jobs and money will be in areas serving needs, not wants. I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
U.S. securities regulators will take on short selling today. Shorting's when a bet's made a stock's price is going to fall. The SEC is meeting to decide whether to reinstate the uptick rule. This allows short sales only when the last sale price of a stock was higher than the previous price. The uptick rule first came into play after the 1929 market crash.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, delivering people-ready enterprise solutions designed to help companies do more with less. Details at Microsoft.com/people-ready.
If you or your friends keep your digital photos online at Kodak Gallery, it's decision time. Eastman Kodak says pay up by mid-May or say goodbye to your pics. LA Times business columnist David Lazarus joins us now. David, what's behind this decision?
Well, Kodak Gallery is one of the leading photo repositories on the web. They have 5 billion images stored, 70 million users. The problem is most of those users do not buy things from the site, prints and CDs and whatnot. They're just keeping their photo albums on the web. Kodak has responded by saying, hey, the free ride is over. If you have 2 gigabytes or less stored online, you'll be paying $4.99 a year at least. If you have more than 2 gigs stored, you'll be spending $19.99 a year at least for the privilege. Or, and this is a big or, your photos could be deleted.
So is this the end of, as you call it, freeloading on the web?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? We're seeing a gradual transition of formerly free services introducing fees. Craigslist, for instance, used to be able to put anything up there for free. Now a number of the listings come with fees attached. Basketball superstar Kobe Bryant has reintroduced his website with a $49.95 a year membership fee. So clearly fees are gradually coming out. And the question that I posed in my column is, what about all the things that we all take for granted? Free email from Yahoo and Google and Hotmail. What if fees start getting attached to all of that?
Well, what if they do? I mean, it's happened before, and you raised ATMs as an example of this.
I thought ATMs was a really good parallel. When they were first introduced, the banks had no fees attached to them, the idea being that they wanted you to get very accustomed to this technology and get away from those very costly tellers. And then in 1988, the fees started coming out for out-of-network cards. And then, of course, we all know in the banking industry, a fee to talk to the teller, a fee to get your canceled checks back, and on and on. I think it's a very good parallel for what we're facing in terms of the internet, where things come out with no fees attached, and gradually you see the fees starting to pile on as people start becoming accustomed to the technology and as the technology becomes a routine part of people's lives.
All right. LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
A link to David's columns at marketplace.org. I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.